In this lecture, we're going to have a look at exports. When goods are exported, they are liable to export formalities. Why? Well, certain goods might be prohibited or restricted, such as firearms or controlled drugs. In addition, some goods might be eligible for export refunds. We covered this in the lecture on the Common Agricultural Policy. Goods might also need export licenses before they can be exported. This generally applies for goods that have strategic significance, UN sanctions imposed on them, or are for national heritage purposes. Certain agricultural goods need export licenses. Export controls also help to provide overseas trade statistics and ensure that customs procedures such as IPR are discharged correctly. If we don't complete our export formalities correctly, then we could be liable to penalties. We have just mentioned that one of the purposes of export formalities is to check that customs procedures have been discharged correctly. What if we don't actually export those IPR goods, and therefore customs duties have not been paid when the goods have been released to free circulation? Section 67 of CEMA could apply and says the goods are liable to forfeiture and the person is guilty of a criminal offence. They could be fined the greater of 3 times the value of the goods, or level 3 on the standard scale. The same consequences apply if we export prohibited or restricted goods without complying with the law. This is in section 68 of CEMA. Alternatively, we might incur a civil penalty under the Export Penalty Regulations of 2003. These are contained in Statutory Instrument SI 2003 number 3102. They provide for maximum civil fines of £1,000 or £2,500 depending on the rules that are broken. These regulations are similar to the customs contravention of irrelevant rule regulations that we looked at in Chapter 2. If you need a reminder, replay the lecture on prohibitions, restrictions and penalties. So, we've seen why export formalities are carried out, and the penalties if they are not carried out correctly. But what are the export formalities? Firstly, an export declaration is required to be presented with the goods at the time of export. This is lodged at the customs office where the goods are exported from. The relevant legislation is contained in Articles 161 to 162 of the Code, and Articles 788 to 796 of the implementing regs. The export declaration can take many formats. The basic document is the C88 or SAD. Chief is used to record all export declarations. Although this is the basic procedure, the legislation allows simplified export procedures. We'll take a look at those in a moment. Just before we do that, a quick comment about VAT. In order to encourage EU producers to sell abroad, exports are zero rated. Completing paper declarations and presenting goods for export can be time consuming for the regular exporter. Therefore, customs may authorise someone to use simplified export procedures. The legal basis for this is contained in a variety of places. Article 76 of the Code is one. Article 4A of the implementing regs talks about modern communication via data processing techniques, and Section 53, subsection 4 of CEMA talks about simplified presentation procedures. In addition, as a result of the new modernized customs code, it is the intention that electronic declarations will become the norm, and that paper declarations will only be completed where the computer systems of either customs or the trader aren't working. In the UK, you may see simplified export procedures referred to as the New Export System, or NES for short. The majority of goods are eligible for these simplified procedures, apart from prohibited or restricted goods and a few other exceptions. Some of the rules relating to this new type of scheme are contained in the Customs Presentation of Goods for Export Regulations of 2003. These regulations allow customs to authorise a person to present goods electronically. The advantage of using the NES is that the customs clearance for export is pretty much instantaneous and affords exporters a way of paperless trading. Instead of paper documents being presented at the time the goods are exported, the exporter uses electronic declarations. These will be generated by the exporter's own system. Records still need to be kept for customs inspection, and for customs duty purposes, the time limit is 4 years, and for VAT, the time limit is 6 years. To have a look at some of these simplified procedures in a bit more detail, Open up Schedule 1 of the 2003 regulations. It provides us with an example declaration that may be used to present goods to customs electronically. This declaration must be accompanied by a further electronic document that is used to identify the exported goods. Schedule 2 of the regulations lists the type of information the exporter needs to provide. This includes the following: the number of packages containing the exported goods, the marks and numbers affixed to each package, a description of the exported goods, the expected date of export of the goods, the final destination of each package, and the name of the ship, flight number or number of the train, etc., on which the goods are going to be exported. Points 4 to 6 can be omitted if goods are being carried in a freight container or vehicle where the manifest for them shows these details. The new export system enables traders to export their goods with the minimum of customs intervention. We'll look at the main types of procedures under the scheme. The first one is the standard full entry procedure. Under this procedure, the exporter completes a full pre-shipment electronic declaration. The goods must be presented to customs and the declaration lodged before the goods are loaded for export. In the case of controlled goods, the export declaration must be accompanied by all other required documents or information. The second one is the simplified declaration procedure, or SDP for short. The SDP may only be used by an authorized trader. The SDP allows the exporter to declare his goods for export by submitting a simplified electronic pre-shipment declaration to Chief. This contains minimal information about the goods. The simplified declaration is then followed by an electronic supplementary declaration within 14 days of the date of shipment, which gives more details about the shipment. The authorized trader assigns each consignment a unique consignment reference number, or UCR for short, to be quoted on the declarations to customs. The UCR provides an audit trail linking the two declarations. The final procedure we're going to look at is the local clearance procedure, or LCP for short. The LCP may also be used only by authorized traders. This allows them to have goods cleared at their own premises. An LCP trader is still required to advise customs of the export by an electronic pre-shipment advice, which contains minimal information to identify and control the movement and subsequent export of the goods. When the trader has received a permission to proceed from Chief, he can arrange the transport of the goods to the place of loading. Like with the SDP, within 14 days of departure, the trader must submit an electronic supplementary declaration containing full details of the consignment, and a UCR must be quoted on the relevant declarations. These procedures are similar to the simplified ones available to traders on importing products under CFSP. Remember, we chatted about this in the lecture on customs warehouses. So, what about removals to other member states? Do these differ from the export formalities we've already seen? Imagine that you are dispatching goods from the UK to France. Goods being dispatched to other member states do not need an export declaration. Goods in free circulation can be dispatched or acquired without any customs duties implications. However, information still needs to be recorded in order that customs can monitor trade. Also, don't forget that excise duties and VAT may be due on the goods. The monitoring of trade is done via the Intrastat system, which records dispatches to and acquisitions from other member states. The legislation on Intrastat is contained in a statutory instrument, 1991-2790. Sometimes the community transit regime needs to be used when goods are consigned to another member state. For example, the movement of goods that are not in free circulation needs to be monitored to ensure that if the goods are diverted to free circulation, customs duties will be paid. These goods travel under an external community transit procedure, which is also referred to as T1. Sometimes goods in free circulation also need to travel under the community transit regime. These travel under the internal community transit regime, or you may see this referred to as T2. We will now have a look at this community transit regime in a bit more detail. First, we'll look at the external community transit regime. The relevant legislation is contained in Articles 91 to 97 of the Code and Articles 340A onwards of the implementing regs. We have already said that this regime is used for goods that are not in free circulation. This means that customs duties have not yet been paid on the goods. There is therefore a risk that these goods could be diverted to the home market without payment of the required duty. To ensure that this does not happen, the person who is dispatching the goods is going to have to comply with a number of conditions. Before we go into the conditions, we need to introduce some terminology. The person who is dispatching these goods to another member state is referred to as the principal. The principal may need to provide a guarantee so that if the goods happen to go missing on their journey, customs will recover the duties due on them. This guarantee can take a number of formats. The main ones are the single guarantee, which covers one community transit operation, and the comprehensive guarantee, which covers a number of community transit operations. You will see in a minute that customs may waive the requirement for a guarantee in certain circumstances. Whilst we're on this subject, you will also see that there are a number of simplified procedures available to an importer. But before we go into them, we'll cover the basic procedure. When the goods are ready to be dispatched, the principal must present them to customs. This will usually be at the customs office where the goods are departing from. The customs authorities will set down a time limit within which the goods must be presented at the office of destination. This time limit will take into account the itinerary of the goods. In addition, for most journeys, the containers containing the goods must be sealed, and the purpose of the seal is to ensure that the goods cannot be tampered with during their journey. Goods are presented to customs by way of a transit document, which essentially is a type of C-88 or SAD. The transit document must be lodged electronically under the New Computerized Transit System, or NCTS for short. Customs will authorize the release of the goods by issuing a transit accompanying document, or TAD. The goods are then dispatched to the other member state accompanied by the TAD. Once the goods arrive at the intended destination, the goods will be presented to the customs authorities there. The customs authorities will record the date of the arrival of the goods electronically. This is known as an arrival advice. As the computer systems between the member state of departure and destination are linked, customs in the UK should know immediately that the procedure has been discharged. Where, however, customs have not received the arrival advice by the time limit laid down for completion of the journey, they must inform the principal and ask them to produce evidence to show that the procedure ended. We have already mentioned that community goods may sometimes have to travel under the Internal Community Transit Procedure, or T2 procedure. Article 340C of the Implementing Regs gives the circumstances when they need to travel under it. An example is where their journey involves them leaving the territory of the community before arrival in the destined member state. Goods are consigned from one member state in the territory of the community, say for example the United Kingdom, to another member state, for example, Italy. However, the goods travel via Switzerland. Remember, Switzerland is not one of the EU member states. As the goods are technically leaving the EU and re-entering it again, then they need to travel under community transit, so that when the goods are consigned from Switzerland to Italy, they are not treated as Swiss goods and declared as an import. They are already community goods. They were just transiting through an external country. The internal community transit system ensures that documentation accompanying the goods shows the correct origin of the goods, so that the correct formalities are carried out. Now we will have a look at simplified procedures that may apply to community transit operations. Simplified procedures are allowed under the authority of Article 97 of the Code and Articles 372 onwards of the Implementing Regs. These simplified procedures are granted to persons established in the community who regularly use the community transit arrangements. In addition, this person should not have committed any serious or repeated offences, and if they want to use simplified procedures, they must write to customs and request them. There is no specific application form for this purpose. The types of simplified procedures that customs might grant are guarantee waivers. A guarantee waiver may be granted if customs are satisfied that the principal is in command of the transport operation and has sufficient financial resources to meet his obligations. In English, this means that provided the person has sound financial backing, then if the goods were to go missing, customs are happy that the person has enough money to pay any customs duties that become due. A person may ask to use special loading lists which do not contain all of the details as required by the legislation. They may also request special types of seals to be used on their goods, or an exemption from having to follow a prescribed itinerary if the location of any consignments can be ascertained at any particular time. As well as these derogations, a person could apply to become an authorized consignor. To have authorized consignor status means that a person does not have to present the goods or the transit declaration at the office of departure. Instead, customs will lay down any rules as to how they should be notified before the goods leave the country. Only persons holding a comprehensive guarantee or guarantee waiver will be granted this status. The consignor will issue their own transit declaration and electronically submit the transit declaration to customs. In summary then, by using simplified procedures, an authorized consignor can send goods directly from their premises to the vessel and use their own documents to accompany the goods as they transit on their journey. A person may also become an authorized consignee. This means they do not have to present the goods or the TAD at the office of destination. Instead, they will electronically inform customs of the arrival of the goods. There are other various simplified procedures for goods consigned by air, rail and sea. So, what if the goods don't arrive and customs want to retrospectively recover duty? A customs debt is deemed to have been incurred if the procedure has not been correctly discharged. The member state of departure must notify the guarantor that this has happened within 12 months. In addition, there is a normal 3-year cap on customs retrospectively recovering any duty that has been underpaid. The examples for this lecture take the form of a word search. On the screen is a grid with letters. Hidden in the grid are 11 words. 11 clues will come up on the screen to help you find them. As each clue comes up, you will see an empty box is located to the right of it. You need to find the correct word in the grid and type it into the box. Press the enter key once you have found the word. If you need to pass at any time and move on to the next clue, then press the down arrow on your keyboard. To go back to a clue, press the up arrow.